And welcome everyone to another Sunday afternoon here on Revolution Radio. And I'm also on PSN Radio. I'm Stephen Roberts and this is Cancel Like a Ball. I've got a very good friend on today. I was going to get Pamela Herrera on, but I'm not sure what's happened to her. I've been sending her messages and trying to call her, but I haven't gotten anything from her, so I kind of ad hoc set up at least one other friend of mine, maybe two. But anyways, I want to introduce John McCann from Ireland. John McCann has a show on one of my other networks, peoplesinternetradio.com. He's on from 7 till 11. I'm sorry, from 9 to 11 Irish time. He's on from 4 till 6 Eastern here in America. So I want to welcome John. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you very much, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, I actually met you little more than 3 years ago now. I've been on air on, first it was TNS radio, and then it was MSI radio, and now it's People's Internet Radio. But been a little over 3 years now that I've known you guys there. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
I'm getting a bit of an echo.
Yeah, sometimes it gets that way. I'm not sure what someone just sent me a message. I don't know if do I got to back my mic down a little bit, or do you need to back your speakers down a little bit, or
just done so?
Okay, is that better?
I'll tell you now. It's just a little after effect.
Well, I hope it doesn't make you too wobbly in the brain.
Well, you know me, Steve. When I start talking, it's hard to stop me.
That I do know. I know sometimes listening to you or hosting you, actually. I do the hosting for the other network there, and I host you because you don't have the software or the internet, really. But, yeah, you tell me sometimes, goodness, Stephen, I don't know what I'm going to say today, and then you rattle on for 45 minutes nonstop.
I've been accused of that quite a lot, always. Anyway, hello everybody over there in Revolution Radio. And it's good to have a chance to come on to a different network. Usually we play to a similar audience every week. And 3 years, oh my God, that's 3 years has flown. So we must be doing this 4 years or 5 years, I don't know. Time is flying. Are we getting better? Are things improving around the world? I think we're still at the stage of learning information about things, and I get frustrated because I don't hear other people talking about something that we discussed 3 or 4 years ago, and I have to remind myself that, you know, it takes people time to question things, time to you know, take things on board. Some stuff that we do on People's Internet Radio, we concentrate on solutions.
Yeah.
And that's the whole trust of the station. But all the subjects are the same as Revolution Radio and all the alternative medias. You know, I try not to talk about the Rothschilds and
the Rockefellers,
aliens and things like that, you know. But
I try not to also.
So... it's sovereignty, I suppose, is the basis of it. And I think in America, sovereignty means a different thing. And I never heard the word sovereignty until I came across Vin and People's Internet Radio, which was TNS at the time. And since we've been talking about sovereignty, what we found is that the politics coming into mainstream media, everything is sovereignty now, whether it's fiscal sovereignty or a nation's sovereignty. And everybody's using the word sovereignty. I think they're all afraid of it. And the thing about sovereignty is, I know when the kind of movement or something, I don't know whether it's a movement or whatever you would call it, started in America, the powers that be started issuing these, I remember one video where they had these guys, I think they looked like they were from some mountain somewhere or something, and they came out and they shot the cops anyway. And of course, everybody who said they were sovereign were labeled with this kind of reckless behavior. And these guys don't want to pay their taxes, and they don't want to obey the laws, and they don't want to do this, which is partly true. Yeah. Because number one, taxation is theft. The laws that they speak about are not laws. They're statutes, which is, they're not law. That's known as positive law. So there's a distinct difference between law and acts and statutes. And luckily in Ireland, we have a constitution that's pretty strong in one area in particular. That's our dwelling, our home, as we call it in the constitution. It's called a dwelling, and it's protected under the constitution. That doesn't prevent people from having their homes stolen from them by these vulture funds we have over here now, which everybody in America would be well used to that kind of scenario, sadly. But we're fighting back here in Ireland, and we're using the law or their statutes and the constitution and everything we can get our hands on to prevent foreclosure, as it's known.
Correct me if I'm wrong, John, but over here in America and over there in Ireland and Scotland and the UK and basically all over the world, they use semantics in the words to trick people to force them out of their homes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's quite extraordinary once you see it. I'm not an expert at it, but if I see a letter now from what you would call a lawyer, and I read it differently now than I would have 5 years ago. So we've learned how to discern what the words mean, what they're trying to say, what it looks like it's saying, what it isn't actually saying, and all of this sort of thing. It's a great exercise for anybody to try and get into. It's fairly simple once you get the hang of it. And there's always keywords, and it's the small words that are very important in all these solicitors and lawyers' letters. And of course, they're usually threatening types of letters, and they always come across with threats. And so we've learned how to, I suppose what we say, put the headache back in their court, as it were. That's the whole object of it, is to put the headache back to them. But we still have lots of people getting these letters from, they're not banks anymore. They've all been, everything's been securitized. I think the whole country's been securitized. Every country's been securitized some one way or another. And, you know, we have people who get a letter in from a solicitor telling them to get out, but there's a default in their mortgage and you've got 7 days to get out. And people fall for it, and they hand in their keys and they do all this sort of thing. And I've myself had these letters, and we're learning how to reply to these letters. And we also do the official offer, which is a sticking plaster to stopping foreclosure. And maybe more than a sticking plaster in many cases. So that's where we're at. Steve, I don't know whether I'm going on to too many subjects there.
No. No, you're fine. Yeah, we can pick one of them and discuss it for a while. Mm. I find it interesting that all over the world, the solicitors or the barristers or the lawyers, as they're called in different countries, you know, they want to use a term like, or terms like persons or citizens, yeah, to give the impression that, it's just their semantics again, that with these words, they actually mean something different than what millions and millions and millions of people think that they mean.
Sure. Yeah, they certainly do. Legal dictionaries are very helpful to discover what these words mean, in fact, and how they can be used. And they try to use sort of normal parlance, I suppose. We would say this person came over to me or that person came over to me, but the person in legal land is a legal entity. It's not a man, woman. So they can use that title to suit whatever in their arena, in the arena of actors, just like a military zone, they call the people involved in a war actors. The judges are actors, the politicians are actors, anybody who works for the state are actors. It's quite incredible, really. And we're discovering that really most of the laws or statutes and acts and everything else, doesn't matter whether it's America or any other country, they basically apply to what they say, the public. It's another word. except the public is not the way we think it is. It's the public to them is those people who were employed by the state, not the general citizens or people of the country, and not the public. So we're learning all this kind of stuff. I know it's a bit of a head wrecker for people, and you know, we have two words that everybody should know. And the first time I heard of them, I didn't think they meant anything, which was, the question is it civil or criminal? Now, I, for a long time, over those 3 years that you know me, it took me quite a while to understand how important those two words are. It's the same no matter what country you live in. The bar society, if you go into the bar to train as a lawyer, whether you're in any country in the world, what they do from day one in college to the end of their days, if they retire and stay in it, whether they become judges or anything, they have to sift through the information and they have to question, they have to ask all the time, is it civil or is it criminal? Well, so if one goes into court for something, it's a good question to ask, is it civil or criminal? It separates the two because obviously there are different penalties for it being civil and different penalties for being criminal. And they're very important words, and it's very important to distinguish these things. And lots of times when people come in about foreclosures and everything, they are all civil matters. But unfortunately, as you know, in the States and England, Ireland, everywhere, somebody gives an order for possession, not repossession. Everybody calls it repossessions. It's not. It's possession, a possession order. In Ireland, we don't have any eviction orders. We have possession orders. And we've learned that the judges who sign these, or the registrars, or whoever signed these, or don't sign them, in fact. We had one judge here who was in the Supreme Court saying that for 17 years she never signed an order. So people are appearing all over the world as sheriffs or bailiffs and going to people's homes and saying, we have a court order here. And there was just a case in England there yesterday or Friday where one of the lads asked him to find, could he read the order? And the policeman wouldn't allow him, or the bailiff wouldn't allow him to read the order, which is totally against any civil rights of anybody, you know, because it is a civil matter. So you have all this mixed up thing going on. So it is difficult for people to discern one thing from the other. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I also find it interesting, John, not to interrupt you there, but...
No, please do.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of these things that they are calling laws, once you research it and get right down to it, they're actually a different word for it. It's like a statute, or a policy or some sort of regulation. And there we get into the semantics again. Because, well, I mean, the way I understand it, man can't really make laws. And we can't really break laws either, because laws are inherently natural, like law of gravity or law of physics and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think the legal system is based on, I suppose, the Ten Commandments, you know. They've shot not kill and all the rest of it, but it doesn't apply to politicians, apparently. But so anything other than that, the legislation side of things, when a government goes in and passes these legislations, they call it legislation, they become a statute or an act. And they're basically, fundamentally, revenue collection type regulations all over the world when you boil it all down. But there are laws like thou shalt not kill, etc., etc. And then those regulatory laws or the statutes and acts, they are known as positive law. And we have that written in our constitution here in Ireland, which was a constitution created in 1937. And that there's a whole pile of information about that, that we're all learning about our own country here, about how we're not actually independent here at all, which might be some news to some American people. I could go into that later if you want. But positive law and law are two different things. Positive law is stuff that the government come up with, regulations, bylaws, acts, statutes. And we have in our constitution here, which they're trying to change, that the family in Ireland is the highest law on the land. So everything else, and I'm sure it's the same in America, if somebody dug deep down deep enough, they would find that basically, you know, man, woman, family are the primary laws, or the head of the primary laws of any country, and everybody else works underneath that. So in every country, they're trying to disassemble the idea of a family and break up the family unit. And it's nothing to do with liberalism, as in the lesbian, gay situation where we have marriage licenses here now. That has nothing got to do with being lesbian, gay or whatever. That's to do primarily with breaking up the power of the family unit here in the land. And because if you bring in marriage licenses for what's not normally known as, you know, man, woman, family, that clouds the issue then going forward. You see what I'm saying? So they're chipping away at the edges of it. And they don't want you to know all of these things, of course, folks. And the only reason that I know anything about them, I never knew anything about them before, it's out of necessity. And the necessity is our austerity programs, people losing their homes, all of that, the bank, the money system, no different than any other country, really. So out of necessity, we're all learning these things.
Yeah.
And, you know, as we go along, Steve, we learn something. We say, my God, I didn't know that. And
Well,
so then we, you know.
I find it interesting also, this over here in America, I think it's been about a month ago now that the highest court, the Supreme Court, passed some sort of, I didn't really pay attention to it because it's, it doesn't really matter in the scheme of the whole story, John, but they passed a thing where this transgender issue, if you were born male but you more closely associate yourself with being a female, you would be allowed to go into the girls' bathroom to relieve yourself. But I believe in my heart that it really has nothing to do with gay and lesbian and transgender. I think it's just a more of a agenda for the pedophile groups all over the world, especially here in America, to try to get their hands on little girls or boys, whichever the case happens to be.
It's something that they put in. It's like a big stew, you know, to mix it all up and get people confused and have children confused about their own gender. If someone is transgender, they're transgender, and that's it, you know.
Before a month ago, someone that was in quotations transgender or thought to identified with the opposite sex, they would just, you know, whether it's a man, he would go in the men's room, and if it was a woman, they would go in the woman's room, and there wasn't any kind of fuss over anything.
Yeah. I recall a few years back doing some gigs and being in the men's toilets and women coming in to use the men's toilets, usually with a few drinks on them and stuff like that.
Yeah, but were they drunk? Got into the wrong bathroom?
Well, probably a little bit, but not that drunk. And I remember one guy saying to this girl he took, he was saying, you know, what are you doing in here? Well, she actually ate him. You know, she gave him an awful time and nearly ended up in an argument. And she was like, well, why not? Okay, fair enough. Why not? I don't know. However, being a man, if I walked into the ladies' toilets,
there'd be hell to pay, wouldn't there?
Well, you'd be screamed at and screaming. And I'd say there'd be a few bouncers in on top of you. And you're probably in the front of the newspaper as some sort of a pervert or something, you know. So, the same laws, rules don't apply to gender, it appears. But, I think that's just another thing to break up the family, get people confused. You see, one thing I learned, and you must remember, in America, America is still under the crown, and like Canada, like Ireland, like all these places. And if people look at the words of the English national anthem, in the words are... confuse and confound their politics. And that's what they've been doing for hundreds of years, and that's what they do. Well, and all these side issues under the liberal banner, let's say, goes against, say, church teachings. And if anybody talks about church teachings or the Bible anymore, you're seen to be some sort of a demon. It's everything is being turned on its head. So, and there's ageism, because of my age, people say, it's a different world now. It is and it isn't. There's nature and there's natural, and then there's hedonism, and there's all sorts of other categories there. And in Europe and in Britain particularly, they're really trying to push the paedophile agenda by all these people from university and some politicians coming out with stuff like, we can't find, it's paedophilia is not an illness, or we can't discover any harm that it might cause a child. You know, all this kind of talk. You talk to somebody who has been abused by somebody, and the torture, the mental torture that they go through, one would have thought that that was it. But there's a lot of that talk going on in Europe, and I suppose in America, and under this liberalism thing, anti-religion thing, anti-church thing or whatever, you know. And now we have the Muslims now to blame on everything. And some people are blaming the Jews on everything, and some people are blaming the Muslims now on everything. And it used to be whatever. In Ireland, we have Catholics against Protestants. Not so much in the south, but still up the north of Ireland. That still pertains because they also brought that issue. If you can't have a conversation with somebody up the north without them talking about religion, you know, Catholic or Protestant, they're both Christian of some sorts. The best saying I have about that is Christianity would be great if it ever started, you know. And they're trying to cut down your beliefs. They're trying to, there's an awful lot of nonsense going on in the world today. So it's very confusing for younger people coming into the world, growing up, and people in their 20s to 30s, and are confused about things. And they don't know their roles. The roles of men and women have changed in the last 25, 30 years. And it's all deliberate. Everything is deliberate. And this is what we're trying to change. Not to go back to something that was run by one class of religion or another, but common sense more than anything, really, you know.
Well, I find it interesting you brought up the church, the Catholic Church, and pedophilia, John. I believe there was a time, I don't have a clue when, you know, I would have to do a lot of extensive research, but I think these groups of pedophiles all over the world got together and they decided they were going to take over the religion. They were going to take over the church. I remember just getting close to getting out of high school over here, which would be called, I don't know what it's called over there, John, but 12th grade would be the final grade that someone would be in before they would go on to university.
Sure.
I remember in 1980, I was in my next to the final year of school, and some of these pedophile scandals started coming out about the Catholic Church and the priests and the bishops and the higher ups. And it occurred to me way back then in 1979 and 1980 that I thought some sort of a group was trying to take over and trying to hijack Christianity, well, the Catholic religion, mm-hmm. and putting gay men in as priests. You know, that's been 36 years ago now that I actually thought that, and I kind of stepped away from the Catholic Church and went off to a different religion. I went off to the Baptists and the Presbyterians, but you know, that's just
number one, the difference between Catholics and Baptists and Presbyterians is the Presbyterians and the Baptists and the Protestants and wherever, they actually read the Bible. The Catholics don't read the Bible. I started reading on that journey a few years back, and when I started reading it, I couldn't believe what I had learned before and what actually is in that book of books, and it has nothing got to do with the Catholic Church that I can see. So, and then of course you have this actually, we had a local parish priest that was found dead in a gay massage parlour. And I live on the north side of Dublin. And funny enough, people were shocked, but a lot of people went to his funeral because apparently he was a nice man. I couldn't even remember the guy. So attitudes have changed. I think if you have an army of men, the chances are that there's certainly going to be a certain amount of them gay, you know. Or if it was an army of women, there would be some certain element of lesbianism in it. So, but that's getting mixed up with the actual church itself, you see. So, and power corrupts. So in Ireland, the Catholic Church had a huge stranglehold over the people. I mean, a really huge stranglehold over the people.
And they still do, too, don't they?
Not as much.
No,
not as much. But you see, in all these cases, if something, whether it be Catholic or Jewish or doesn't matter, you know, or some unit of belief system or whatever has the power, or maybe not even a religious unit, but a group of politicians, Republicans, Democrats, or whatever you'd like to say, you know, ultimately, the longer they're in that position of power, it becomes corrupt, because we all know power actually corrupts. And people say, oh, no, these are well-trained, educated men. Well, you just have to look at somebody who puts on, say, a cop's uniform, or somebody who's going around putting parking tickets on for parking cars, or anybody wearing a badge or the title of manager or something. And, you know, you'll see people change. There's something about power, or not responsibility, but power in itself. It actually changes people's heads. So the more you go up the ladder, which was a famous criminal here in Ireland called the General. And I knew this man that knew him. I didn't know this man knew him, but I was having a conversation one day and he said, well, I remember the General telling me, he said that the more he went up the ladder, as it were, that there was more bigger criminals at the top than there was where he was, if you know what I mean. And I think it's been borne out. You have, look at what's happening in America, for God's sake, 360 million people, and you have Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. You know, my God, it's incredible. Bernie Sanders, he says all of the good things. I don't know whether he is as good as he makes out. But I would lean towards Bernie Sanders, even for his, just for his rhetoric at least. But that goes to show the quality, I think, at the top of the pile, as it were, that has been diluted. You know, you don't have great orators. You don't have men or women of vision. You only have, the women are in it to be the first, you know, break this glass ceiling thing. Which is kind of fine to a degree. But we had it over in Britain with Maggie Thatcher. And look what she turned out to be. And there's so much being written about Hillary Clinton, whether all of it's true or not. But she, I wouldn't trust her as far as I could throw her. And I certainly wouldn't trust Donald Trump to make a decision on anything. And there are 360 million. That's the choice the American people have to make. It's a dilution of democracy. It's a dilution of anybody with any intelligence. It's a bit like tabloid newspaper candidates being put into the top positions of supposedly the greatest nation on the planet, America, or the United States of America. And of course, I don't know whether your listeners over there know that each president do not become the president of America. They become the president of the United States.
Well, that's, yeah, I was going to bring that up earlier, John. That's another semantic or a little wordplay trick that they use. They've actually got recordings going back to at least Franklin Roosevelt that I can recall of, and they're all up on YouTube. They swear an oath to the Constitution of the United States, and they're supposed to swear an oath to the Constitution of the United States of America, but they conveniently leave out that of America part.
Well, you see, that's very important.
Yeah.
You know, our history here in Ireland since 1922, since 1916, has been a barrage of that kind of language with semantics and words left out and words put in and words changed. In fact, the name of our country changed, and then they tried to change it to something else, which has nothing got to do with anything, but they do it in a way that people just believe it, because the British don't seem to have the physical presence that they had up to 1922, but they left the civil service and the bar society, which still is there. And it took till 1948 for our prime minister at the time to come up with this act that basically describes, the words are, that Ireland can now be described as a republic. That's impossible. We had a revolution in 1916. We had a civil war because the Brits didn't like it. They brought in the black and tans before 1922. The only time we actually had an independent Ireland was from the 21st of January 1919, which was a 32 after the a 32 county election, which is the whole of Ireland. And the 21st of January 1919, a sovereign nation, independent nation of ERA was formed.
Now,
after 800 years.
Yeah. Now, explain to me, John, and the American listeners, black and tans, are those sort of the equivalent to the brown shirts of, I think, Germany?
The black and tans were basically ex-soldiers, ex-prisoners, mercenaries that were sent over between 1919 and the end of 1921. And they came over and caused mayhem and killed people and burned people out of their homes and basically did what they wanted. They were just like a mafia or Nazi type thing, you know. But they wore black and tan. They didn't have a proper uniform, but they had black and tan uniforms. A tan shirt and black trousers, I think, was the way it worked. And as the whole thing went on for a couple of years, because the elected representatives at the time decided to that we were breaking away totally from the UK, Britain, England, whatever, whatever that country is called nowadays. It has a few names. And so they didn't like it. So they sent these guys over to confuse and terrorize people. But the only thing was that, thankfully, at the time, there was a few people in Westminster who were crying out and saying that this can't go on because the army wasn't in charge of them. The government wasn't in charge. Well, the government technically was, but they weren't an army and they weren't a police force, you see. So they weren't answerable to anybody. And, of course, everybody hears the stories about the black and tans and certain aspects of Irish history that I was fed myself as an Irish person growing up in school. And we all were fed this nonsense, a lot of it nonsense, under the pretext that it's not good to talk about it because we had a civil war. Where all we ever heard was father and son and brother and father, you know, fought and killed each other, you know, which was true. But, and then they call that the War of Independence. Well, you see, there wasn't a War of Independence. We had the elected representatives, which were actually Sinn Féin, got the majority in 1918 of the whole of the island. And they decided, okay, we're going to create an independent state or country after 800 years of subjugation by the British, who incidentally were brought in by the Catholic Church under Pope Adrian in 1155. So then they've confused us by calling it the War of Independence between 1919 and 1922. But it wasn't the War of Independence then. The Black and Tans came in then. And then the end of 1921, Collins and all the boys went over. They were tricked in a way by De Valera, but they went over and they made this treaty with King George. Well, they didn't actually make a treaty with King George. King George enforced this treaty on what was then a sovereign nation. And in that was a note to the king and all its successors, Article 17, which I have here in the actual constitution of the Free State. So this is where it gets confusing.
Hang on a second, John. Sorry to interrupt, but that's one of the questions I did want to ask you. I've heard recently here that there's actually five constitutions that has been put forth over there in Ireland. Now, you mentioned earlier the 1937 constitution.
That's right. Well, there was the sovereign constitution, And then there was the Free State Constitution. And then there was the 1938 Constitution. And I think there's two others that I can't recall properly. There's a mixture there of something. Do you understand me? I can't recall those other two.
Yeah.
But they don't come into play so much. But I'm just trying to sort out the timeline for people, because it is very confusing for people. So if I put it like this, that they call the War of Independence wasn't the same as the Civil War. So they call the 2 years leading up to this Free State being formed the War of Independence. And then basically it was still under the Crown, and the Crown took away six counties from Northern Ireland, Ulster. And there's eight counties in Ulster, and they took six of them away. So, and essentially imposed this form of government, which was, I suppose you could call it home rule in a sense.
Probably martial law.
Well, it's quite possible. In what they call the Dáil, our parliament, they have the flag in it, has the gold fringe about it. I think if Paul comes on after, he'll tell you all about that. He's gone mad on that at the moment. So this happened, and there's a significant thing about this. So in 1921 to 22, when the Free State was formed, in it was the oath to the crown, to the king and all his successors. And that's what sparked the Civil War. The people who wanted to retain the sovereign nation of the 2 years that we had, and those that wanted to continue with the crown, basically under the guise of sort of our own parliament, but still answering to the crown, because they still had the power over the ports and the land and all various other things. Plus they segregated the country and took six counties out of eight counties and called it Northern Ireland. And but there's a very significant thing about this, and it's been dismissed, what I'm saying, since 1922 by all historians here in Ireland, the mainstream media, the politicians and everything. Now, people say, well, that in 1919 on the 21st of January, that couldn't have been proper or legal or whatever. They dismiss it like it was nothing. However, the key point to it is that in the Treaty of 1922, you cannot have a treaty with another country unless that you recognize that other country. So King George and Churchill and all the boys, they had to recognize the sovereignty of Ireland or Éire in order to make a treaty with it. But they put it out that they didn't recognize it, but they would have to. You can't treaty with yourself. You can only have a treaty between two nations or two parties, or a group of parties, you see?
Yeah.
And this is where the lawyers come into it. So, because if it wasn't proper what happened on the 21st of January, why would you have to treaty with it?
I don't know. It's very simple. Yeah.
It's very simple, folks. It's very simple. But they used our language, and they use different things all the time to smother things and hide things and all the rest of it. And in fact, in 1948, where we had the Republic Act here in Ireland, where we could describe the country as a republic. Now, how could you just put an act in, Steve, and say, look, all those guys in 1916 were executed for what they did. There was a civil war. The Black and Tans came over, murdered people and pillaged and everything else. Caused great confusion after a legitimate election of all of the islands. And the people who won the election formed a sovereign nation. 2 years later, we have the Treaty of King George, and they created the Free State. Then there was a civil war. So, a few years later on, everybody's sick of civil war, killing and dying. Nobody wants killing and nobody wants dying. Nobody, obviously. And so, if you have a civil war, black and tans, killings, murder, insurrection, rising, a vote, an election, and we still couldn't retain our sovereignty, how can a member of the so-called Free State under the crown then all of a sudden just declare it a republic. It's not possible.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to go back to a few seconds ago, John, and mention to you that over there, I'm sure it's the same everywhere in the world, but they can do something because they have brainwashed people behind them with big guns and big batons, and they can beat you into submission.
Yeah, well, if that's legal, well, you know.
Well, as we know, legal is different than lawful and moral, of course.
Well, you know, the question, Socratic question that was asked of a few politicians in America, or anywhere, just ask any of them, anywhere, and just ask them, if I don't have, or Steve, or anybody listening, doesn't have the right to kill somebody, which everybody agrees with, how can then, if I don't have the right to do it and Steve doesn't, how can then myself and Steve say, okay, Paul or somebody else, you can go out and kill someone?
Well, that's the thing, John. They have these fancy suits that they put on in their fancy garb, and they write on a piece of paper that it's okay to do because their buddy said, you'll get away with it because you did it this certain way.
Yeah, but you don't have the right to do it.
No, not at all.
You know, they may say they have a mandate, but anybody going to vote, and this is the problem with voting, is that you don't know really who you're voting or what you're voting for. Nobody does. How could you possibly look into the future and say, well, that man that I'm going to vote for Steve for president. And Steve goes in as the president, and all of a sudden, it's all too much for him. He becomes paranoid, psychopathic, whatever, influenced by people of power and wealth and situations, told a bunch of lies, coerced down certain avenues, and all of this thing, and it's impossible.
Yeah.
Well, how could you know as a voter that this is going to happen to Steve or me when we go into those positions?
That
seems to happen to them all.
Yeah, that's this assumed authority that is given to these people by others that don't have it, where, you know, as I mentioned, you put a nice shiny blue suit on, or black, whatever the color happens to be in whatever country, and you pin a nice shiny badge on this man or woman and tell them that they're allowed to go out and beat the snot out of people or just kill them outright, as long as they do it a certain way.
In fact, the policeman on the video with the eviction yesterday on Friday in England was saying to a guy called Chrissy Morris, he was saying to him, look, I have the power to arrest you. I can make that decision whether I can arrest you or not.
Uh-huh.
And Chrissy was saying, well, that's a choice you have to make, you know.
Yeah.
Have I done anything that you haven't really, but I don't want to arrest you, but I have to assess the situation and perhaps, you know, I will arrest you.
Yeah.
And it kind of made sense to him, but it's just nonsense, really, because he wouldn't. Chrissy was insisting on reading the bailiff's so-called court order, and he wouldn't allow him to show him the court order, which was only a copy anyway. And it was quite amazing to see. But that's the attitude. Put on a uniform and let's go out and beat the crap out of people. You know, it's happening. We get the videos over here all the time on the internet.
Yeah, that's right in their oath, John. They read the words to the man or the woman. By the power invested in me, you're now a police officer or guardia chicana, and now that these people have this badge and this nice shiny suit, they think that they have power. And there's actually a video out there. There's a report, it's been a few years ago now, that a TSA officer here in America somewhere was arrested for molesting a woman. And they report that the man was being taken away in handcuffs, and he's asking the police, what are you doing? I have power. Why are you arresting me? I have power.
Wait. Well, of course, I knew that, but I didn't know. But you're after emphasizing something there. And that's NLP, you know, by the power invested in me.
Yeah.
And here's your Superman outfit to go with it.
You know. Yeah.
But by saying that, the power invested in me. But nobody has the power or the authority to invest power into somebody else. And that goes back to the sovereignty thing. And sovereignty basically means, it doesn't mean the queen. They call her the sovereign. It's the other way around. It's not about power. It's about you just being you as a human being with your birthright, arriving from birth here on this life. And nobody has power over you. Nobody can give power to somebody else.
Yeah. I think, actually, John, the word sovereign, I think if you want to get down to it, it literally means to sow over the rain or to govern yourself, in other words.
Yeah.
But
Well, anybody who espouses that idea, I think once you start, we don't want to use it against people, you know.
Yeah.
It's totally the opposite.
Yeah.
And as I'm going along on this journey, what I'm finding is that it doesn't give you any power. What it does is it actually makes you take on responsibility
yeah.
for yourself.
Yeah. Well, say, John, I wanted to mention we've got about three to 3.5 minutes till the break here. But Paul won't be coming on with us. Our big baldy Vin's going to be coming on with us here for the next hour.
Okay.
You're more than welcome to stay on a little bit and kind of hang off in the background if you want, or you can contribute too. But
okay. That's fine by me, Steve. Yeah, not a problem at all.
Okay.
I'm enjoying myself.
Yeah.
I don't know about your listeners, but I'm enjoying myself anyway.
Well, I think everyone here is too. We've actually got Paul's in the chat room there, and somebody called W and Irish is in the chat, so I'm not sure okay. who that is. But
very good.
Yeah,
pretty good. Yeah, I'll just do your thing, whatever you need done, no problem. An extra hour might cost you more, though. You never know.
Double rate, then? Double zeros? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, double zeros, yeah. We take away the minus part of it,
yeah.
You know?
Okay. Yeah, I would just ask you to mute while we're on the break again,
sure.
Like we did. They want to come in, and we'll have about a 7-minute break, so you can put the pot on if you want. Put
oh,
the pot
excellent.
Of tea on. Yeah.
By the way, folks who's listening there, my show on People's Internet Radio is called Talk and Tea. And
Talk and Tea with Jay McSee.
We're big tea drinkers here in Ireland.
Yeah.
Big tea drinkers here in Ireland, boys, you know.
We always put about at least 6-7 minutes on so people can put the pot on and boil it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So where would you be going?
Yeah. And as I did mention, you are on Saturdays from 9 to 11 London time or Irish time.
Yes.
And that's 4 to 6 Eastern here in America, so on peoplesinternetradio.com.
That's it. Come in and join us and say hello and join the chat and even come on air with us if you want.
Absolutely.
No problem.
Yeah.
Any questions about Irish history?
The real Irish history, right?
About?
And there's a break there, John, so.
Okay.
We'll be right back in about 7 minutes, everyone. All right, and welcome back to the final hour of Cancel the Cabal on Revolution Radio and PSN Radio. And I'm simulcasting right now with peoplesinternetradio.com. I'm actually going to wait on Vin Byrne. This is normally his show, Vin B, on Sunday. So I think me and John will just waffle on for a few minutes till Vin gets here. Are you back now, John?
I'm back on, Steve, yeah. So we're on PIR at the same time, yes?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we're simulcasting. I grabbed the radio over there. Vin is off in somewhere in unknown location in Ireland setting up. Actually, he told me yesterday he was doing something and he's not going to be done until tomorrow, so he couldn't make it home. And he kind of set up a ad hoc little radio station over there. I I passed him some software, and he did a few things, but it seems it's not going to work out for him doing it himself. So he asked me if I could host for him, and I said, sure, no problem.
Mm. Excellent. Hello. Well, good evening, everybody, on PIR again. And hello again to people on Revolution Radio as well. It's a great opportunity to speak to everybody on different
continents.
Yeah, excellent.
Across the pond, as they say.
Excellent. Yeah, shall we keep going until Vin arrives, and that'll be no problem.
Absolutely. I don't think he's going to mind. It's a lot better than dead air anyway, so.
Is it?
Yeah. Hello, Mark and Lori and everyone else in the People's Internet Radio chat room. I've got one chat room on one screen and the other chat room on the other screen, so I can watch both. If anybody has any questions or anything, but we can continue on a little bit with the, you want to maybe explain a little bit of your knowledge of the gold fringe around the flags that are crown ruled, John?
Well, we have one here in our, what we call it the Royal Oireachtas. The Oireachtas, I suppose, for the people over America, is the term for the two houses of our parliament. And they kindly gave it the name of the Oireachtas. It's colloquially known as the Dáil, but it isn't really the Dáil, which means a government as well. So this is just going to confuse the hell out of people. And probably a lot of people in PIR are fed up listening to all of that. I don't know. But you never know who has never heard of it before. So, yeah, if you see photographs of our illustrious parliament, you will see the flag somewhere there, and if you look closely at it, you will see a gold fringe around it.
Those are the flags that are mainly used in government over here. It would be the District of Columbia, those 10 square miles of sovereign land, but over there it would be the City of London and other places.
Yeah, well, I think there's a clue on that, isn't there?
Yeah, but you can't really buy a flag with gold fringe on it unless you're in government and you're representing the corporation or the crown.
Yeah. Well, you see, what that does is it's a bit like what we were saying. We were talking earlier, folks, have been talking here for a little while with Steve on Revolution Radio, and a bit about our history. And we were talking about semantics and the way they have words like the President of America making the oath to the United States, not to the United States of America. So essentially, if you have a flag of any nation, but if when you put a gold fringe around it, well, it stops being that flag of the nation, is number one. And in our case here in Ireland, it suits them very well, because they technically are not the actual government of Ireland. They're still under the crown. And it's like a department or another section of the crown under the Irish flag, except when you put the fringe on it, as it has to change it. I mean, it'd be like, let me think of an analogy. It'd be like having a burger with ice cream on top around it or something. It wouldn't be exactly a burger, would it? But you could say it's a burger with something cool on it or something, you know, but it's not technically.
Yeah.
Same thing.
I was trying to think of some sort of a situation that might be able to explain it better, but, you know, just, I guess actually just use semantics when you think about gold fringe and no gold fringe as far as the flag goes.
That's it. Well, if you have a uniform and, you put a stripe on it, you're a corporal. If you put three stripes on it, you're a sergeant, you know, and then you have other things. But you could be wearing the same uniform, but those little things distinguish it differently from the other uniform, which is the same uniform. And we have the same with these technically corporations running, or they're basically an administration set up to take taxes and revenue from people in order to divvy it up into subsections and all the rest of it. We actually made videos, I can't remember who made them, but here in Ireland, ringing up and asking about the gold fringe on the flag. And of course, when you ring these places, you only get some sort of a secretary, and it was a young girl, and She explained it basically was that it was a ceremonial flag, and there had been a committee set up somewhere, but nobody could figure out why they put the gold fringe on the flag. And she just thought that it was a decorative piece, you know. And right, Jerry, two coming up, and would you like a Coke with that, Jerry? There's a man ordering a vanilla burger.
Vanilla burger, yeah.
I knew that was a bad analogy, but there you go.
Yeah.
A vanilla burger, but there you go. So anyway, she thought it was just slightly decorative to put this gold fringe around it. Like, you know, let's have a flag. We put a few sparkles on it, or maybe a few ribbons on the end. No, we put a gold fringe. Oh, it looks very well with a gold fringe on it. Now, if a flag, which, you know, so many people love flags, and sometimes I hate flags. However, if a flag represents a particular thing, and being American, you'd understand it more, because everything in America is the flag, the flag, the flag, the flag. And
I think over here in America, they seem to think if you don't worship and salute the flag, you're not a real American. You're a commie or a Nazi or a Marxist, yeah, or
well,
something
we have
like
that. We have that here. I've been in places where when I was gigging, you used to have to play the national anthem at the end of every gig. Not at the rock gigs, but at the other pub gigs and certain things like that. And if you didn't play the national anthem, you were in trouble. And I remember one evening where a friend of mine decided not to stand for the national anthem. And another friend of mine who had a few drinks on him started to get on about him. But who do you think you are? And all this nonsense. However, if when it comes outside of just the ordinary close network of a few people having a drink somewhere or something like that, and you put it into a big, huge corporation, like the Corporation of America, or even the Corporation of Ireland, or the Corporation of France, or whatever. If you change something that is the symbol of it, which is probably like the seal, you know. Yeah. And every company has a seal, folks. This is a thing. Every company has a seal.
Yeah, they do.
Any deviation on that seal is not seen as anything appropriate or legal, let's say.
Yeah.
So we recognize our flags have some sort of they are like a seal, you know, and represent something.
Yeah. John, I just wanted to mention, I got a message from Vin, and he won't be ready until half past the hour here, so.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah. I also been hearing something off in your background there. Is that the Garda Síochána rolling down your street there looking for you? Or?
No, that's my PC doing its own thing.
Oh.
I think it's updating things every few seconds. I don't know.
Okay.
Or maybe it realizes it's on Revolution Radio as well. And maybe, the CIA are involved.
Got too many alphabet.
Might be planning on attacking Ireland or something like that. And PC is getting worried about it. I don't know.
Too many agencies listening in on us.
We're not paranoid here on People's Internet Radio either.
No. No. I don't know. I guess I just didn't realize that that was your PC. I thought it was something off in the background there.
Well, I'll keep my ear out for a knock on the door, just in case. And we know, folks, what we do here in Ireland with knocks on the doors. Just to tell your American listeners as well, do not open the door.
Don't open the curtain.
That's it.
Don't acknowledge them.
Very simple. Yeah. Difficult to do, but very simple. Very effective. Effective for everything.
Yeah.
Difficult to do. We all get caught out at times.
Certainly. But
essentially, if you don't want somebody calling to you, you don't want to speak to them, you have no obligation to speak to anybody if you don't feel like it. Whether they're wearing a uniform or whether they have a tank outside or whether they're a SWAT team or anything. In this country, at least still, unless they have a warrant and a crime is being committed, they cannot enter, which is the beauty of our Constitution and Article 40.5, which we are spreading the word about, and it's taking some sort of an effect as well, which is rather good. But technically, even if you're not talking about a SWAT team or anybody calling to your home, in any country, you don't have to open the door. You're not obliged to. It's like when your phone rings, you're not really obliged to answer it. But if it's somebody you know, it's only manners. But we've been brought up I suppose, pretty well, you know, not to be rude to people, to be courteous and to be civil, etc. But nowadays, we're all living in a different era where a lot of people go around with badges, might be trying to sell you something, or they might be trying to serve you something, or they might be imitating somebody in a uniform, or they might be, you know, anything that's going on nowadays. It's totally different than when I was growing up. And so this is why we have to have these little ideas in our head. And this, the most effective thing ever is do not open your door.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Yeah. I actually heard that over here in America when I first started researching a little over 7 years ago, John. They were, well, I don't know whether you want to call it the Freemen on the Land or the American Sovereign Citizen Movement, or which is kind of an oxymoron there. You can't be sovereign and a citizen at the same time. So, yeah, they were saying there is no law that says you have to speak to any police officer or anyone, really.
Well, over in America, the police officers tell you anything you might say will be used against you.
Can and will be used against you in a court of law, yeah.
They're actually telling you not to say anything.
That's right, yeah.
And everybody talks to them. It's like somebody switches on something. There's a little gene in our bodies, and we see these people, and we think we have to talk nonstop to these people.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And they're saying, anything you say will be taken down and used as evidence against you.
Shut up, stupid. We're trying to tell you. Yeah.
Oh, I've seen it here. If somebody comes in a police uniform, there's something psychological about them, and people tend to, like bees, swarm around them, you know, whether it's to make a point of dissatisfaction about something or whatever, they do. And there's something inherent or innate in the human psyche and towards some sort of authority that we get this natural reaction to it. And we end up hanging ourselves, as it
were.
Yeah,
there's, I think there's, I don't know what the psychological term is for it, but I think it kind of goes that people that are not really doing anything wrong, but they're still kind of anxious about talking to a police officer or something like that, they kind of want to rattle on too much information that that they're not doing anything wrong. And that can kind of give the impression that, boy, he's giving me just too much information. He must be doing something wrong.
Yeah. He looks nervous.
Uh-huh. Really nervous. What you so nervous about? I'm not going to kill you.
It might be the taser in his hand or
or the baton
that he's swinging around there.
Or the baton, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have our local police force don't use guns. We have special units with guns, and thankfully, they still don't have guns, so...
Did you catch, John, about a month or so ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, there was a video that went around, and there was a young man that was in a, like a skate park or a skater's park or something, and a police officer walked up to a group of young people and said that you can't do any skating around here or riding your bike, and this one young man started to quote some local laws and stuff like that and asked the police officer, when did the law change? And I thought it was quite interesting when the police officer said right in the video, oh, is it going to be this way? And he put his hand on his gun and started playing with it.
Yeah.
Did you ever catch that one?
No, but I think that's the answer to, I think a lot of people, answering them back and asking them questions. And I think that's a new thing that they've come up with, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, is it going to be this way?
Yeah. Is it going to be this way?
Are you going to cause me trouble here?
So yeah. I mean, the police officer didn't really act like he was being belligerent or anything like that or acting mean or bad or anything. It's just when this young guy started spouting off like he was a lawyer or something, That's when he kind of said, "Is it going to be that way?" And he put his hand on his gun and started fiddling with it. And
well, yeah, this is the problem with it, Steve, that there's a way of doing it. And I don't think we've perfected it. I don't know many people that have it perfected. So you have to be careful using the information. It can be done. Maybe you can say the same words, but have an inflection in it that is kind of like saying, "Oh, how you doing?" You know, you know, have they changed the law or something? You know, it's a different inflection than saying, "Have they changed the law or something?" So,
yeah,
it you know, behavior, intent. It's quite easy for them to say, "You trying to be smart with me? I'm the officer here. You know, you trying to tell me law." There's not many police officers in the world that know law. They know regulations and they do what they're told. They couldn't know all the law. Even the judges don't even know all the law. That's why they have barristers and teams around them to find out different bits of law and regulations and acts and statutes. We had it 2 weeks ago in court here for a habeas corpus where the two barristers and they had to go and get law books because it was a contempt thing. And they were asked, was it civil or criminal? And it took two barristers, five books to find out. And then they brought in another set of barristers. One of them was apparently a state barrister. And they didn't know whether it was civil or criminal until they got one book that the lads were armed with already when they went in, funny enough. So that just goes to show you something, you know. So America is totally different. You have, in a way, but all these semantics that played out every time that you turn on the TV.
Yeah.
See a movie, Hollywood movie. We have Judge Dredd, "I am the law." You know, all this nonsense. The law enforcers. And they're all designed to make the people think, well, okay, that you just do everything. And a lot of these movies wouldn't be quite correct in how they handle them. You know, a fellow making a movie, they can do anything they like. But they always give the impression that the officer can just walk into your home and start shooting the place up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or they can just bust the door down just because
just
they got a badge.
Bust the door down. Yeah. Get down on the ground. Get down on the ground. Bang, 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 bang. Oh, that's in a Hollywood movie. Well, yep. There was a famous quote or saying, when is life imitating art or is art imitating life?
Yeah. I find it interesting, John, that here recently it's come out in the last decade or so that over here in America, I'm sure it's, well, it could be the same all over the world, but some of the bigger police forces are being trained by the IDF, Israeli Defense Forces. Mm. And one of the things they're teaching police officers over here in America is to repeat the mantra over and over again, stop resisting, stop resisting, stop resisting.
And that's a new one, isn't it?
Yeah. It doesn't really matter whether the man or the woman is resisting or not. They substantiate and they give themselves permission to beat the snot out of you while they're saying stop resisting.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's all they have to say, it seems.
Yeah.
Stop resisting. And yeah, they act on it immediately. As soon as anybody says anything, and we have another one here, lads. You know, here's another guy here, another law expert coming my way, and
yeah,
you know. But I'm afraid for the people of America, really, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
and maybe the internet is only showing us the bad sides of life in any particular country, because anything nice or good doesn't really get much airplay on either mainstream media or even alternative media or social networks.
Actually, you know, I'm afraid for both the people of America here and also the police. I think there's somewhere in the vicinity of 2.5 million police all over America, and that's for that encompasses all 52 states and roughly 330+ million people. 330 to 340 million people. They are vastly outnumbered. And, you know, when it's going to come down to who's going to be fighting, it's not going to be the federal agents. It's not going to be the congressmen. It's not going to be the senators. It's not going to be the president. It's going to be the police.
Yep.
And it's going to be the sheriffs. They're going to be the ones with the bullets whizzing by their heads. They're going to be the ones being shot at. It's not going to be these people that are giving the orders.
It never was, Steve.
No.
It never was. So, well, I think as a body of men and women, the police force in America, they do have to protect themselves, I suppose. However, they do have to start thinking for themselves as well. And maybe it's time for them to disobey certain orders, you know?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Stop becoming tax collectors and stick to what they're supposed to be doing, you know?
Stop becoming, it's just my job, or it's... Yeah, it's just my job type of thing.
Well, if I was a cop in the States, first thing you would assume is that you would be told, do not assume that somebody is not armed. You see, that doesn't hold here in Ireland. We don't have guns here in Ireland. You know, nobody carries guns, but everybody can carry guns in America. So the first assumption is that person might be armed, have a little pistol hidden somewhere or whatever. So it's quite difficult. It's a difficult job that they have. But there's always, they seem to be pumped up too, don't they? They seem to be, there's adrenaline moving in them all the time. Maybe that's because they are actually in danger all the time. I don't know. But I think the proportion of people that are killing to the proportion of cops that are being killed by the public or by the people, doesn't stack up for that argument. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. Yeah. You know, it's really going to be a shame. I don't know what's going to happen over here in America. You know, I'm not the inside. I'm not privy to all the information that goes on. But I had about a year and a half ago, a friend of ours, I'm not going to mention his name or anything, but called me on Skype from Ireland, and he said, Stephen, you need to get out of America, because he was having visions or something like that. I don't really know what the entire story was, but you know, he said, you need to get out of America because there's something bad coming, and there's a big dark cloud coming, and it's going to hit America the worst. And you know, I didn't know whether that meant some kind of a metaphysical thing or some sort of a real thing that's supposed to happen or what, but I told him, you know, there really isn't anywhere to go because they can find you anywhere with the technology they have.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to call, except I think everybody in every country is feeling the pinch insofar as we know we're being oppressed, you know, in one way or another. If it's not a physical thing, like an armed police officer or a soldier or a SWAT team, if you take those out of the equation, you have lawmakers or regulators making all sorts of ways of making money for the states, you know, and you can't go outside your door. If you think about it, people are not allowed just to be themselves. We have to walk on zebra crossings. We have to wait for the green light. We can't walk on the grass. Don't stand in that queue that way. Don't go over here. You must pay this way. You must go there. You must do this. You must do it. Everything is regulated to the point it's absurd. So that's without anybody walking around with a gun on their hip, or somebody with a SWAT team badge on them or whatever, dressed up as.
Yeah.
I saw an eviction, video of an eviction in America, and a SWAT team came, and the sheriff, the police officers, they had no paperwork with them, but the guy was assuring the woman that it was all above board and it was a court order. And the guys just swarmed into the house, and she had a small baby, and they were asking, like, what necessities do you need to take out of the house? You do not own this property anymore, and we're taking over.
Yeah.
And it took a long time. The video stopped before anybody came with any pieces of paper to show anybody. I don't know how the woman is or what, but it was a complicated story. And however, the sight of six soldiers or eight soldiers getting out of a SWAT, this army vehicle, to go into your home and basically tell you to get out, and they'll tell you you can't enter again, and maybe she shouldn't have opened the door, or maybe those guys were there to just knock down the door. I don't know.
Yeah.
But she handled it pretty well. She was very calm under the conditions. But what in the name of God is a SWAT team and the police officers and the sheriff's department and everything else going to a civil matter?
Yeah, that's that's the $64,000 question, John.
It's a big question to be asked over there. Same here, mind you. But, you know, over there they do everything a little bit bigger, a little bit more violent. And it always includes some sort of threat of violence in their manner and the power that's invested in them, as we were saying.
Yeah.
Magically.
the magic power of the
police. And it all comes from somebody's so-called signature on a piece of paper that they cannot show you.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have to change that somehow, Steve. No matter where you live, it's all nonsense. Some of it is way over the top, not necessary. If it was all above board, legal, lawful, etc., etc., if the paperwork was there, if everybody had knew what they were doing, if everybody was told that this was going to happen and it was all quite legal and lawful, let's say, why would you need a SWAT team? Why would you need all these other people? Well, you might. Somebody might come over there, somebody might come out with a shotgun.
Yeah.
However,
I also find it interesting, John. Over here in America, I mean, it's probably the same everywhere in the world, but they teach the police over here to take control of the situation. They teach the police to not pay attention to whoever they've got control of, whether it's the perpetrator or the victim. They teach police not to listen to what they're saying. They more or less teach police how to take control of the situation because they might hear something that that resonates with them, something that might be true, something that they might not have thought of while doing their daily duties. Mm. Like, I don't know, just for an instance, over here, everywhere in the world, you need a driver's license to drive down the road, but you and I know that drivers are commercial entities. They work for a corporation and they make money delivering commodities or something like that. But somewhere, I think back in the 60s or 50s or whatever it was, they kind of tricked everyone into getting a license.
It's all
just because
safety, under safety regulations.
Yeah, under safety. Yep.
Under the banner of safety, we can't have people who can't drive driving cars.
Yeah, but
it's okay. You can do what you like, basically, if you don't break the speed limit. People still have crashes and knock into people even though they have a license and
tests
and all that.
If you have any honor and you do have an accident and crash into someone, you should make restitution with that other man or woman.
Mm. Yeah, that would be honorable.
Well, John, it seems that Vin's ready, so I'm going to bring him in.
Bring him in.
Just a few seconds here, and I believe Ben Gilroy is going to be joining us too. So
excellent.